Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
This is the Mediocrity Podcast. It is amazing. Or is it just okay? We don't know yet. We've only 31 episodes and we haven't figured it out yet. Maybe another 31 episodes we'll figure it out. But we are Mediocrity, part of the Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Go to iTunes and subscribe to us at Multimedia Men. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com. And I am with the handsome Jeremy Maggart, who is just... We're gonna make him sweat till he bleeds, CNC Music Factory style. Just got in from a run, and he's wearing a gray muscle shirt. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Doing well. You saw Logan for the second time, right?
I did.
As good as the first time?
It was as great as the first time, and all of the... like awesome moments that I loved in the first one, I, instead of, you know, being, you know, a little blown away, it was just like smiling and grinning through the whole movie. But then, you know, when the shit hit the fan, I was just as emotional as I was like the previous Saturday.
Do you think you're going to go for a hat trick and see it a third time?
Probably not. I don't know if I can emotionally handle the devastation.
Oh my goodness. My goodness. So, and you're getting ready for like a comic book show, right?
I sure am. At the end of this month, there is the Fan Expo Dallas.
Fantastic.
So I've been working on some new prints. I'm going to have a Wolverine print and a little Catwoman, Batman animated series Catwoman postcard that I'm making.
Badass. I'll be there, man. I'll come say hi. Everybody come say hi to Jeremy at the Dallas Comic Show. And join us, as always, Mr. Jonathan Atterbury, who's well coiffed. He has an amazing widow's peak right now. His hair is combed. He has a muscle shirt on too, Steve Rogers style. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. I gotta ask a question. You've been posting on social media at what, New American Fitness, right?
Yeah.
And I gotta say, like, do you live in like Disneyland's backyard? Because you just seem to like get coffee at Disneyland.
We live like 20 minutes away from Disneyland, and we've got season passes and all that stuff, so we go pretty often.
What do you do at Disneyland like once every 2 weeks?
It depends. I mean, honestly, my favorite thing to do there is just go hang out and make fun of people that are walking past.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
So what kind of people are you making fun of, and what are you making fun of them for?
Everything and anything. I'm an equal opportunity shit talker.
Can you give us an example? I'm really curious.
I couldn't even tell you. I mean, okay, let me think about it here. Really, okay, I mean, I think the last thing I remember making fun of was the way some guy was walking. Just in that he was walking to the point where his right hand, it literally looked like he was trying to fan a fart or shoo something away from his butt as he was walking. Wow. And that was the last person that got the laughter.
The crop dusting. All right. For those of you who can't see us, Atterbury was kind of mimicking that walk. It was pretty funny.
Yep.
Because we're all on
video.
You
can only see my shoulders and not my hand.
Yeah. But we have an excellent show for you today. We're going to be talking about Battlestar Galactica.
Is it going to be excellent? Let's not promise that.
It's going to be okay.
There's going to be peaks and valleys.
Yeah, it's going to be less than average, I guess.
Or should I say plateaus and valleys?
I think maybe just one big plateau.
Yeah.
Just one flat line.
A small plateau, yeah. We're going to talk about Battlestar Galactica, the recent series, the 2004 series. We're also going to talk about the upcoming 2018 film Predator. We are also going to talk about some characters who might have influenced our lives that we looked up to when we were growing up. As well as our always returning champion segment, Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart.
We will get back by popular demand.
Back by popular demand for the fans. We have, I think, two fans now of the show, so we're doubling our fan base. It's not just Josie listening to us anymore.
I don't actually know the last time she's listened.
Oh, well, we're back at one.
Even she doesn't give a fuck anymore.
But before we get to that business, let's talk about Kong Skull Island. I know y'all haven't seen it yet, but I did, and I loved it. I'm a huge fan of King Kong, and Kong Skull Island is so much fun. There is no depth to it whatsoever. Like, if you're looking for, like, deep meaning, you're not going to find it here. It literally is a bunch of people dropped on Skull Island trying to get off of it, and then shit happens. That's basically it, with a bunch of fun characters who are mostly one-note, minus maybe one of the greatest cinematic characters in history, played by John C. Reilly. He is just fucking amazing. He's kind of like a cross between like a samurai ninja and something from Tim and Eric's Awesome Show. It's so good. It just works perfectly here. But the visual effects are excellent. Kong is awesome, and it's all part of this bigger universe, which they're dubbing the Monsterverse, which is similar to the Avengers, where there's going to be tons of different monster movies with King Kong and Godzilla and all sorts of shit. And of course, like Avengers, there's an extra scene at the end that teases something else. So if you're going to see Kong Skull Island, you're going to have a fucking good time with it. It is so much fun. And it starts off really quickly. Like, you're not going to have to wait 45 minutes to an hour to see Kong. You see Kong in the first scene. So it's pretty good. So, yeah, go see Kong Skull Island if you can. And it's one of those films you want to see in the big screen because it's just so crazy.
So, yeah. It looks like fun. I'm planning on going to see that one in the theater for
it
sure.
It is. And plus, this Kong takes place in the Vietnam era, and there was a lot of influences from Apocalypse Now and Platoon, so you'll see that there, too. That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Kong Skull Island. But moving on, let's talk about Predator. So, we all like Predator, the 1980s movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Apollo Creed. Damn it, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name? It escaped me. No, but Predator. Okay, whatever. Predator is awesome.
Carl Weathers, by the way.
Well, thank you, finally.
I was just going to let it go.
I was waiting for it to land in your mouth, but I figured I'd help you out there.
That's what she said? It's all in my mouth. Predator, we all loved it. I still think it's one of the more homoerotic movies ever made, and I've given my reasons on that on previous episodes of this podcast.
I still think it's some of the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard in my life.
I got to agree with that.
Y'all are
the only thing that's been more ridiculous is your fucking Mace Windu theory.
Which is still yet to be proven, but it will be. Just go back and watch the original Predator. But anyway, moving on. Predator.
I watch it like every other day. I still don't see it.
Oh, it's sad. You watch the prequels every other day. It's a whole other podcast we have to get to. But they are more than likely revamping another Predator, but it'll be a sequel. We don't know quite sure yet, but it'll come out in 2018. It is called The Predator, and it is directed and written by Shane Black, which Shane Black was actually in the original Predator movie. He was the army guy that told the funny joke that only one person didn't get, like, her pussy's as big as a house. That's Shane Black. Shane Black went on to do Monster Squad and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3. So he's coming back to his roots, his first thing as the Predator. And he also has his writing partner, Fred Decker, who also directed Monster Squad, helping him write The Predator.
And so, more recently, Shane Black did The New Guys, right?
The Nice Guys.
The Nice Guys. Sorry, yes, yeah.
The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, which is awesome. So Shane Black's awesome, and like, but again, he got his start in the original Predator by telling that joke. So it's pretty cool. So What do y'all think about this movie? Do we need another Predator? Do you want it to be a sequel? Do you want it to be a remake? What do you think about the casting? Jeremy, I know you're a big Predator fan, and I know Jonathan is too, but Jeremy, what do you think about this?
So when you say sequel, like which one is this a sequel to? Because there was the Predators movie that had Adrian Brody in it. Like, what is this? Is this one a sequel or is it a reboot?
I actually don't know. I don't think a lot has come out about the movie really yet as far as casting.
See, I think to me, like, whether it's a sequel or not, that doesn't even matter with these movies. As long as it's not just the same movie as the one with Arnold where he's like, come on, come get me. As long as it's not just an exact scene-for-scene remake of that, then I'll be happy.
That's pretty funny. But yeah, that's it's not known yet what it really is.
Okay. I like that Boyd Holbrook's in it. I think that's cool. He was great in Logan. So, but one thing I think is a little weird is when you look at the cast, when you look at what I think made the Arnold movie so much fun is you had all these super badass military commando dudes, which, you know, looked awesome running around the jungle killing people. And then you look at this cast and there's not really, you know, there's nobody that when you just look at the cast photo where you're like, oh man, I can't wait to watch that guy fight the Predator. And to me, like when you had the Predators movie with Adrian Brody, there was nobody in that movie where you're like, man, I want to watch this person fight the Predator. Like if you're like, hey, I want to watch Jason Statham fight the Predator. That sounds awesome. Sign me up for that movie. Don't sign me up for the skinny dude from the piano fighting the Predator.
Yeah, they really need to put The Rock in a Predator movie and stop fucking around.
But hey, but I mean, okay, so we know Boyd Holbrook's, and you said that already, but Thomas Jane is rumored to be in the movie, which would be awesome to see, like, the Punisher fight Predator.
And you also he's going to have to get big for that movie, though, because I think he's got everything it takes. But, you know, in a lot of his other movies, he's not physically imposing. But if you were to add, you know, 20 pounds of mass to his frame, then I would totally believe it, and I'd be really excited about it.
All right. Also, Jake Busey is in the Predator movie, and... What do you mean, dude? He's a badass. He's so great. It's going to be like watching a crazy person fight a predator.
Yeah, well, it's going to be like that, or is that exactly what it's going to be?
I mean, he's not going to play the calm one for sure.
But he's not that great of an actor. He's just, you know.
Yes, he is.
He's okay.
All right, so what about Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele?
That's a weird choice to me.
I agree. I mean, it could be one of those things where it ends up being great because I always feel like a lot of the comedian guys, when they kind of branch out from comedy, are usually pretty good because their timing on stuff is awesome because you got a pretty good timing to be funny. So it'll probably be good, but it also just seems like a weird choice.
All right.
And I think Alfie Allen is just going to be there as the person who you want to see get killed.
So Alfie
the person
Allen,
when they have their spine pulled out, you're just like, yes, fuck that guy.
Yeah, if you don't remember who Alfie Allen is, he is Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones, and he was also the first John Wick movie as the guy who killed John Wick's dog.
So he's really easy to dislike, basically.
Yeah, I could see him being kind of like a Bill Paxton character from like Aliens, like talk a big game but being scared of everything. I don't know.
Well, we've also got Olivia Munn, and she's, you know, not great.
Olivia Munn is badass. What are you talking about?
Okay, Olivia Munn is beautiful, but as far as an actress is concerned, you really think that she's great?
Dude, she was awesome in The Newsroom. Awesome in The Newsroom. So awesome.
I haven't seen that one, so I can't comment
on that. The Newsroom
is
a TV series on HBO. She's so good in it. She's in every episode.
Does this really require great acting? I don't know. I think
exactly.
It requires,
does it require it, great acting?
It require. I think in what he's talking about is she going to convincingly be able to kick ass in this movie?
If she does, if she's one of the ass kickers, then yes. I mean, that's the thing is it has to be convincing. It has to be someone where like, yeah, okay, this person can go against the Predator, not just
get destroyed. I have a feeling she's going to be one of the ass kickers. Like,
you're probably
right. When you look at the cast and she's one of the only females on there, she most likely is going to be an ass kicker.
Well, in the original movie, there was basically only one female in the movie.
Yeah, but she was not one of the ass kickers.
Well, She got a. I mean, she survived in the jungle with that thing, so she.
But if Yvonne Strahovski's in it, then she will most likely also be an ass kicker.
That's true.
Because if you saw her in Chuck, that was her role in Chuck, was to kick ass.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff. Also, Sterling K. Brown is in the film, who you might recognize from the new show This Is Us. He plays Randall Pearson on the show. But interestingly enough, most of these characters, we don't know much about them, other than that they're headed there and they're fighting people. And then also, weirdly enough, which I don't quite see how this is going to work, Jacob Tremblay is in the film. He was in that movie Room with Brie Larson that won the Oscars. So you're adding like a small kid to this movie, which I hope it's not kind of like we have to save him or keep track of him, because that would completely derail the movie.
He's not going to be one of the ass kickers.
No, he won't.
It's the Three Ninjas Predator movie.
So I am. You just gave Brian an erection.
You did.
So I'm seeing a cast photo here, and these guys actually look pretty tough, and especially Keegan-Michael Peele, right?
Yeah.
So he looks pretty tough in this movie, and so does the guy from Logan, and even Olivia Munn looks like she's getting ready to put a foot up the Predator's ass. So we'll see how it turns out. I hope it's great.
So
I always enjoy every Predator movie to some extent.
So I'm reading that Boyd Holbrook is the main character in this film. He plays Quinn McKenna, a former Marine and Special Forces commando who discovers the existence of the fierce Predators but finds that no one believes they exist. Supposedly, James Franco and Benicio Del Toro were offered this role, but they both
I'm so glad it's not James Franco.
I agree with that.
So Olivia Munn is Casey Brackett, a scientist opposite Quinn. Trevante Rhodes is Nebraska Williams, is a former Marine who enlists in a special predator hunting operation headed up by Quinn, his best friend. Keegan-Michael Key is a man who teams up with Quinn and Nebraska Williams to fight the Predators. Sterling Brown is a government agent. Jacob Tremblay is Quinn's troubled son, this is the kid, who has a form of autism and is bullied in school but becomes a key player in the fight against the Predators due to his his ability to learn languages.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing on Thomas.
Is this movie going to be rated R?
I don't think it has a rating yet because they're still filming.
That's an important distinction for me with a Predator movie.
It better be.
Yeah, so it's...
I want a PG-13 Predator about as much as I want a PG-13 Die Hard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe even less.
So yeah, Thomas Jane does not have a character yet. Or at least they don't say. Yvonne Strahovski is...
There's really just two characters in these movies. People that fight the Predator and people that get killed by the Predator.
Correct. But I don't know if all these people are like going. I don't understand, because it looks like Yvonne is just Quinn's ex-wife and the mother of Tremblay's character. Alfie Allen is a former Marine to go out to to stop things. Hunting predators in suburbia. So this Alfie Allen's thing, it says, as a former Marine who teams with several other outsiders, including Quinn, to stop the human hunting predators in suburbia. So in suburbia, what does that mean? Does that mean like it's happening like...
Where are you getting this information
that's
from?
It's under the Wikipedia like list.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah. And then Jake Busey doesn't have... a character yet listed either, but I'm just trying.
He's the crazy homeless guy.
Correct. Well, with Predator 2, you saw the Predator in the city, so it's not a far off thing. But in Predators, they were on a different planet. So I have no idea what we're getting here, really. I don't know, and I don't know the budget yet. I don't know anything else.
So. As long as it's well executed, Shane Black does a great job with the script. His stuff is always really sharp and funny, and also it's got a good edge to it. So I think that he'll do a good job with it. I'm not too worried about this movie.
And it says Arnold Schwarzenegger was confirmed to have discussed with Shane Black about returning to the film as his character after the first Predator film, but it doesn't list them, but that's neither here nor there. That might be a surprise, you know?
Nothing would make me happier.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be pretty good. But yeah, so
If there can be 10 of them, 10 Predators, and let old Arnold just kill one of them, and you have my money.
Yep. Take my money.
So the film is set to release on February 9th, 2018, which is basically almost, you know, a little less than a year from now. And they started filming last month. You know, by reading all of this and talking about it, it seems like they're trying to revamp it, and like Predators may not have existed in this universe. So they might be doing a direct or like a far off sequel from Predator 2. If they're, you know, I'm reading the
like words. I don't think they're going to reboot it, because there would be no point. The Predator stories are all just not connected to one another. And it's just, you know, the fact that Predator exists, none of the movies have really truly been connected in any way. So I don't see them doing a reboot.
Well, I mean, Predators come to Earth. Okay, so there's a group of Predators out killing people in the city or wherever. So I don't know if this is taking place in the jungle. It doesn't seem like it. But this is interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they try to do like a franchise out of this. Like if there is going to be a stinger at the end of this, like we just killed like four Predators or something like that. But then you see like a bigger ship coming to Earth and they'll have to fight it. I don't know. What do you want?
I just as long as we get a new Predator movie every 5 years or so, I'm happy.
I'm good.
Every 5 years?
I don't need one more often than that. I really don't. At least unless this movie is so good where I'm just like, okay, I need one in 2 years from now. But really, like once every 5 years, give us a new twist on it. Sure, I'll take it.
Okay. So
unless The Rock takes over the franchise, in which case, yes, every 2 years I need a new Predator movie with The Rock.
All right. So the director of photography of this movie, which is basically the guy who makes the film how it looks, his name's Larry Fong, F-O-N-G, and he has done 300, Watchmen, Sucker Punch, Super 8, Now You See Me, and Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and more recently, Kong Skull Island.
So a bunch of movies with very specific, unique looks to them.
Correct. So I wonder if the Predator were going to get kind of like, you know, a Zack Snyder-esque look to it.
It better not. I mean, as far as I know, he's not involved in any way, thank God.
No, he's not. But it's the director of photography. It's how the movie looked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it really it's just that Fong is good at making stylized movies. I think that he's still going to take a cue from the director as to what style it should have.
Yeah, because there's going to be so much like concept work and storyboards that are going to design the scenes and everything, and so there will be so much going on there. I'm not worried about that.
All right. I mean, I love how 300 Watchmen, Sucker Punch look. I mean, Batman v Superman, I couldn't get it. I didn't like it. But Now You See Me, Super 8 was awesome. I just, you know.
All great movies.
All good.
Except for Batman.
Except for Batman versus Superman. Didn't like that movie. But yeah.
I don't know. The last person I would probably blame that movie on is the director of photography.
Yeah, I agree.
True. I mean, it didn't look. Yeah, I agree. But still.
Really just whoever the editor was and the script writer.
That's funny. So yeah, we will definitely update you on further information as we get it. I'm sure within the next couple months we'll get a trailer, we'll get more casting and story news, you know, the synopsis of the film. But yeah, I guess if you type in Predator 4 into Google, it'll bring you to this film. So they are billing it as Predator 4. We don't know where the Alien vs. Predator timeline goes in. Who knows? But yeah, I look forward to this. I mean, specifically since Shane Black and Fred Dekker are badasses. So very excited. Very excited. Right?
Indeed.
All right. So let's go to Battlestar Galactica now. So if you haven't watched the 2004 version TV series of Battlestar Galactica, you might want to skip ahead a little bit until we get to our next.
Just turn off the podcast and go watch the show.
Yeah,
that's what you should be doing.
Back. Seriously, but yeah, no, it was a good show. So the original show came out in the 80s, and it, I mean, it was still a good show, but it's very campy and very cheesy. The Sci-Fi Network, usually known for their really shitty B-movie, low-budget series and movies, put out this TV series, and critically and financially, it was a huge success. Like, it was just badass. And it survived the writers' protest for a while. It came back, and it was just badass back in the 2000s. But...
Did it start on Sci-Fi? Didn't it start on another network and then Sci-Fi picked it up?
Battlestar Galactica, I believe. When was it? Original network, Sci-Fi.
Okay.
So, cool. Yeah. Because they did the miniseries that was like, you know, the first two long episodes, and then they did the big series, which consisted of 75 episodes, and it was created by Ronald D. Moore, who is just a badass. Basically, he worked on Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and Voyager, and then he got to do his Battlestar Galactica, which he's pretty much mostly known for. He's been working on Outlander for a little bit, but he got his start in the Star Trek series and moved on to Battlestar Galactica, which is just awesome. If you haven't seen it, it is so... Like, you hear the words Battlestar Galactica, and you're like, oh, God, I can't deal with that. No, it is so good. It is just, it sucks you in. It's violent. The characters are deep and meaningful and violent. Oh, I love every part about it.
And so much of the acting is great. I mean, and you really, like Brian said, the characters have depth to them, and you really get attached to every character in there.
That's very true. Very true. So let's go. Let's start out with some of your favorite moments. Like, I mean, I guess try not to give a lot away. let's refrain, because if people are going to listen, refrain from doing like the crazy spoilers here. But like some of like the cooler moments. So go ahead.
Some of the cooler moments. Let's see. Gosh, there's
that's
just
really
so many. Yeah. Really every episode has cool moments. But to me, pretty much everything with Adama, with William Adama, the admiral that is, Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the greatest actors and the characters in that show. And he was Yoda and an ass kicker all wrapped up into one. You know, he was like somewhere between Patton and Yoda. And he's fantastic. All the, you know, the moments where he and Lee Adama, his son, have those really good father-son moments where they're not quite sure if they're going to see each other again. Or, you know, even if they're, you know, just hanging in there together, like when Lee was Fat Lee. And
I remember that. Oh God, it looked terrible.
And Edward James Olmos is telling him like, "Hey, you've gone soft, basically, in every way."
Yeah,
and it's great. But it's such a great
that moment when he's like, "I dropped a stone," and he was like, "Yeah, no God, now go drop another."
Yeah. So they had such a great energy between the two of them, and especially when you throw Katie Sackhoff's Kara Thrace in the mix. The three of them had such great synergy and energy between all of them and the characters. It's so great. Everything with those characters, every scene was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. That was awesome. I loved it. Loved everybody. What about you, Jeremy? Anything from you?
My favorite thing about it has less to do with story or episodes, and it's actually a lot of the space battles. What makes it different is... it's a little more, I don't necessarily say realistic in the space battles, but you wouldn't have sound in space. So like when you watch movies like Star Wars and Star Trek, and there's space battles and sound effects firing, and then, you know, like a ship, you know, like a TIE fighter passes by, and, you know, you hear it go from right to left or whatever on your screen, your surround sound. They did space battles with no sound, you know, with a very kind of like muffled, quiet action going on. And I feel like it's really impressive to sell action and intense space battle with no sound whatsoever.
Because that's how it would be.
That to me is one of the really impressive things about that show.
I agree. That is pretty cool. I've got a Let's see. What do I want to bring up? What I love? You know what always sticks out to me? Remember that episode where Starbuck fought that Raider Cylon ship called Scar?
Yeah.
I just thought that was an awesome, awesome episode.
That was an awesome episode. Now, is that the same one where the other pilot was getting involved in drugs or the meth pills, basically, and she had to go through detox for that? Or am I mixing two episodes together in my mind?
Was that the one? I'm trying to remember if that was the same one. I can't remember.
I can't recall, but it's something around that same time. But yeah, the whole Scar story twist was really fun.
That was cool. And like Scar is like, it's a Cylon ship and it had a scar on its like front of the ship. And it was just like a badass thing that like killed tons of people.
It was basically the space Red Baron.
Yes, it was. Another really cool episode, and it won't give anything away, but one episode that was like fairly emotional and just really good was that the whole entire episode there really wasn't it was all character development, and the crew was down and out, and they decided to throw a boxing tournament, and it got like the crew of the Battlestar Galactica to like really fight their inner demons to like move on. You know, do you remember that episode?
Yep.
That was such a good episode. Like, oh, so badass. And I think Starbuck's one of the coolest characters ever.
I agree completely. She is such a great female character because she's a badass. And in no way is she like the little victim that needs to be saved by the guys and all that kind of sexist bullshit. But she's actually just an ass kicker, fully capable of handling her own shit. And I love that about her.
I did too. So we all saw the mini series, which is before this series. There was only two episodes, but at the end of that series, Admiral Adama, Edward James Olmos, gives a crazy emotional speech that ends with everybody saying, "So say we all," over and over.
There's a lot of those moments in the show.
Oh man, I mean, I always get goosebumps when I hear that and when I see that scene, and I was like, "Oh, it's so good."
It is so good. And let's also not forget to acknowledge how fantastic Dr. Gaius Baltar is.
Dude, that guy is – what is he doing now? Because he's
– I have no idea. Okay, so I'm going to click on his page right here. We've got James Callis is his name, and he hasn't done anything. No, just kidding. Basically, it's a lot of little TV shows that he's been on. He's been in like CSI in 2013. Apparently, he was even in Key and Peele. In the TV series, he was in AD, The Bible Continues. Okay. That was a high point for his career. And Rick and Morty, he was a voice. Basically, a lot of little things. He was he had a brief appearance in Bridget Jones's Baby.
So this is crazy because Gaius Baltar, this actor, Callis, he's amazing, like award worthy, because his character is so dynamic. Two-faced and real. And how he plays
it
off.
He lives in the gray zone. That's the great thing about Baltar, is he lives in the gray zone, just like a Don Draper or anything like that, where there are moments where you hate his fucking guts, but and then there are other times when you sympathize with him and you just want to see him win. And that's what's so great about him. I think anytime an actor can deliver a character that in moments you hate them and in moments you love them, that's really damn fine acting.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. Because I never, from start to finish, I never know how I was supposed to feel about him, really. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's so fun about it, is that they're just playing with your emotions.
Oh, it's so good. Jeremy, any other things that you have to say about Battlestar?
You know, one of my other things about it is the guy that you mentioned that kind of started the show that worked on some previous Star Treks. One of the reasons that he stopped, I think if that's the same guy that I'm thinking of,
Ronald D. Moore,
he stopped working on Star Trek because he didn't like it that he wasn't able to tell big overarching stories on Star Trek. Like part of the deal with the network that was doing Star Trek was that they didn't want, anytime anybody turned on Star Trek, they wanted somebody to be able to hop on the show, watch an episode, and not have to know the overall there be any arcing story to get in the way of them enjoying that episode. and he didn't like that. And that's one of the reasons why he bailed and wanted to do Battlestar Galactica, was so that he could tell one big overarching story with, you know, the different season stories throughout. And to me, that's one of the really cool things about that show also.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because, I mean, Next Generation for Star Trek, kind of like an episode of the week, you know, like a creature issue of the week. You didn't necessarily, I mean, I think there was like an over general vague overall story arc, but yeah, really, there really wasn't. And which sucked because it could have been great, but I agree with you. That's why one of the many reasons that makes this Battlestar Galactica series so good is because you really invest in everybody, and you have to watch the last episode to really get a lot of the next episode, and it all comes to the forefront as you go on. I like it.
Very true. And one other thing that I want to acknowledge is how great the music in that show is. And so, the music was all done by Bear McCreary.
Yes, he's done a lot of film scores, and he's awesome.
And a lot of TV shows. He did and is doing The Walking Dead. He did Black Mirror, or an episode in Black Mirror. He did Outlander, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Black Sails, actually. And there's a lot of other things on his resume, but those are kind of the more recent standout ones. And his music is so excellent. He always does a great job with his scores, and I really love what he did, especially for Battlestar.
Yeah, because with Battlestar, the theme is kind of like a bohemian India type of sound with tons of drums. And yep. It's so cool. So, and like, that's what Baird does with a lot of his soundtracks or a lot of his scores, is a lot of drums. And I miss that so much. And I have to bring up one of my favorite characters as well, Colonel Ty. That dude was just fun to watch. Just through all of his trials and tribulations, not just with Cylons, but with himself.
And his wife.
That poor man went through a lot. He was great. But yeah, there's just a lot of twists and turns in Battlestar Galactica. And Battlestar Galactica started in 2004, and the miniseries started in 2003, which in 2003, if you remember, was a start of the war, like the Afghan war, when President Bush started that war. So there's a lot of similarities and parallels between insurgents and enemies and how they fought the war, and Battlestar as well, to hear. Like, it was a lot of the same language that you would hear on TV newscasters as you would in Battlestar, which I thought was really cool. Like, taking hostages or torturing them or something like that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I can think of the one you're talking about with the torture scene between her and what was the Cylon that fell in love with her, Kara Thrace?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we won't say that.
I remember that. But yeah, there was a lot. It was just really good, and it was like high paced. There wasn't any cheesiness to it. The effects were actually pretty damn good. The ships looked good. It looked realistic.
And costumes were solid.
Yeah. No, it's a damn good show, and you should watch it.
Always did such a good job with all of, like, the, you know, the twist and the surprise character stuff. And I feel like in a lot of shows like that, where it's like they're, you know, they do a really, where they just are kind of like always rolling out like the twists and who's a Cylon and who's not. Like, I feel like a lot of shows after a while you'd be like, okay, you're wearing me out with this. But that show was always like, every time they did it, it was such a good job, and you never really knew. And the way they revealed information, I thought, was always done in a really cool way.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Seriously, if you haven't watched it yet, I think it's on, you can buy it on Blu-ray for sure, but it might, is it on, I think it's on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, I think you can watch all the episodes for free.
I don't think so. I haven't seen it on any of the streaming networks lately.
There was a while where it was kind of bouncing around from each one, but I haven't seen it on there in a while.
It's on one of them. I don't know if it's Hulu or if it's on Amazon Prime, but it's on one of them. I know, because I have some friends that are watching them right now.
Cool.
So, but I'm trying to. It's not on Netflix for sure. But yeah, check it out. You're gonna want to see it. Buy the Blu-ray because you're gonna want to watch it. It's so good. Up until the very end. Let's Battlestar Galactica news. So shall we all say? So say we all.
So say we all.
So say we all, Jeremy.
Jeremy's too cool. He won't do it.
He won't do it. He's not part of it. All right. So let's move on. Let's move on to some characters. You brought this up, Jonathan. I think, like, when we're younger, you know, our parents are always, you know, role models to us in some form or fashion. And, you know, maybe some older cousins or friends or something like that. But, you know, when we're younger, we tend to watch a lot of television. We tend to watch a lot of films. And we tend to kind of maybe emulate what we see in television and film. So you had a good idea, Jonathan, that what would be awesome or who was our role models growing up as far as film and TV? Who do we look up to? So why don't you start us out?
Okay. Well, the one that matters more than anything is going to be Han Solo.
I think we can pinpoint...
Eventually, we need to do a segment like this where we try to guess what everyone else's would be.
Yeah.
Actually, we can do that right now, but John just gave his away.
Well, that's who I would have guessed anyway. I would have been like, John's is Han Solo and Kluger's is Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice? Really? I mean, that's a great guess. I do like that because he is awesome.
So yeah, I mean, Han Solo was always where it was at for me as a kid. I just remember watching Star Wars being because I first got into Star Wars, I was probably 6 or 7 years old when I really, really got into it, started buying action figures and watching the movies. And that was literally all I wanted when I grew up. I never wanted to be like a doctor or a cowboy or a policeman. I just wanted to be Han Solo. That was all there was to it.
Are you Han Solo right now?
I don't think so. I think I missed the mark by a lot.
You're not a smuggler yet.
No, not there yet.
So what?
I do have a furry companion, but that's about it.
What character traits of Han Solo did you want to emulate, and do you think you emulate now?
I don't really think I emulate much of the Han Solo stuff, but that as a child, that was exactly. I mean, like, I remember doing something really. I can't believe I'm going to tell this to everyone on the internet.
Please do
it. I remember literally standing in a mirror when I was probably 9 years old, trying to get myself to smile like Han Solo. I remember doing that. I remember, like, okay, I don't want to smile like Han Solo smiles. That's just really cool.
He was doing that yesterday. Don't buy this. I did it when I was a kid. Bullshit.
Yeah, did he do that when y'all lived together?
Constantly. We had a big mirror in between our bedrooms. It was like while he was brushing his teeth, he would brush his teeth and then work on just getting one side to go up.
It's trying to figure out how you can make one side of your face look angry and the other side look happy. That's the Han Solo smile.
Have you perfected it right now?
What's that?
Have you perfected it yet?
Oh, no, I can't do it. I look nothing like that when I smile. You guys see me smile all the time, and it's the least Han Solo thing you'll ever see in your life. There's nothing roguish about my grin.
So, with your wife, when she says "I love you," do you constantly say "I know"?
I do. I say that at every opportunity I can. Jeremy says it to me all the time. It's kind of a running joke he and I have between each other. But anytime I can quote Han Solo in real life, I do it. I make it happen.
All right. Are there any other ones besides Han Solo?
All right. Let's see. I think I threw a few more on here. So this one was a little bit, I was a little bit older. I was probably like 15 or something like that. But the dude made a big impact on me. the dude, even to this day, I still want to grow up to be the dude. And, you know, that's, that,
and I would say you make an excellent white Russian, my friend.
I do. And I think that I've become closer to actually living the lifestyle of the dude than I have with Han Solo.
That's funny.
So I
agree with that 100%.
Yeah, just spend most of my day in the robe with some flip flops and some shorts. And so yeah, I think that those were two of the ones that I watched. For us, I really wanted to emulate that, and of course, I've got to give it up for Captain America too, portrayed by
Chris. You are wearing a Steve Rogers shirt right now.
I am, and I'll tell you right now, I was never a big Captain America fan, so it's not like I was one of those people that when the movie came out, I was a really huge Captain America fan. I always considered myself more of an Iron Man and Deadpool fan, but when the you know, when Chris Evans came out playing Captain America, I just loved what he did with that character so much that it actually made me become way more of a Captain America fan. And, you know, he's one of the reasons him and that character was one of the reasons that I decided to start working out and get into the whole fitness lifestyle, because I just remember seeing that in the theaters being like, yeah, I need to make something happen here with this soft body of mine.
The guy who would have eaten like 15 candy bars in a sitting to prove a point. He doesn't do that anymore. That's good. All right. So, Jonathan.
Unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yes, that's true.
Exactly. If there's a life to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jonathan. Now we have to guess what Jeremy's choices are. Who did Jeremy look up to and want to be?
Just Ghostbusters, right?
Dr. Peter Venkman.
See, I think more
that's
Dan.
Where
Aykroyd.
The sense of humor comes from, that's for sure.
Yep. There's a lot of Dan Aykroyd in Jeremy. Yep.
See, the best part is the sense of humor comes from all three of those guys.
Okay.
It's like you've got the Spengler stuff, you've got the Dan, you know, you've got the Stance, you've got the Venkman.
All right.
And the general Dan Aykroyd way of speaking that comes through. There's a lot of that comes through in Jeremy's cadence of his speech.
That's funny. See that?
All right, so Jeremy, give us your list besides the Ghostbusters.
I will say first and foremost, there's probably three overall. There's Luke Skywalker, which is the first one. There is Spider-Man, and then there's the kind of combination of like Han Solo / Indiana Jones.
All right.
Very nice.
All right. So, Indiana, so in these characteristics, how do you strive to be, or what are their characteristics that you try to embody?
With the Han Solo and Indiana Jones, I just feel like those are two characters that are always thrust into situations far beyond their control or that they should be in, and always just kind of improving, flying by the seat of their pants, no matter what it is, and always manage to make it out, not unscathed, but, you know, still kind
of...
They get the job done. and it's you know, it's not always pretty, and most of the time it's not. It's a little bit of a train wreck, but that's what I've always admired about those kind of two characters I felt they had in common.
All right.
Plus they look awesome, and they're super cool.
They're just super cool.
Do we get to guess yours now, Brian?
Yeah, I guess if you want to. Is Jeremy done, though?
Other two characters if you want.
Oh, let's hear the other two characters.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
you know, Luke Skywalker, probably just because of the impact that Return of the Jedi made in that one scene. And really, it's just from the one scene where he's about to get pushed into the Sarlacc pit. And then he, you know, spins around a little diving board and flips up in the air and, like, force grabs the lightsaber. That alone, like, kind of sold me on him for life. So
I've seen Jeremy do that, by the way. It's pretty cool.
It took a lot of work. a lot of ab strength. And then, you know, with Spider-Man, there's kind of something that they didn't really used to define as much in, like, the older cartoons and comics, but now they kind of refer to it as, like, the Parker luck. And that's, like, no matter what that guy achieves or figures out, life just always throws all the curveballs at him. And every, you know, he'll get two steps forward and then something kind of knocks him two steps back, but he's always kind of still moving forward and always pushing ahead with what he's trying to do. And I always admired that about him.
No, so is the Parker luck a good luck thing or a bad luck thing?
Oh, it's a bad luck thing for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. So you like characters that roll with the punches.
Yep.
I gotcha.
Roll with the punches.
Yep.
Good. That's good to have, though. That's good to have. So, okay. Besides Beetlejuice, I guess. Who am I?
Definitely Albert Goldman from The Birdcage. Nathan Lane's character from The Birdcage.
That's how you see me?
No, that's how you see you. That's not how we see you. That's how you see you. That's what this is. We're guessing how you see yourself.
Oh,
yeah, we're
okay.
Guessing the movies that you watch that you're like, man, that is what I want to be when I grow up. That is that, you know.
I mean, come on. I like to decorate. All right.
See, even asking, that's how you see me, that's a very Albert Goldman thing to say.
Yeah.
They're like, that's how you see me?
I'm so happy. Like,
so sad.
My cheeks are hurting from smiling and laughing so much. It really is, because it's just so funny. I like it.
I was going to give him a backup of Gallagher.
With Gallagher? Like, yeah. The watermelon smashing comedian?
Yep. I don't know why. That just seemed like another pillar.
I think that's the hair that we're seeing.
Wow.
And what's the guy with the crazy hair from Ancient Aliens? Because I think you have a very similar hairdo to him as well.
Right now I do, for sure. Aliens.
Yeah, Georgios Tsoukalos. Definitely that Aliens guy.
Aliens. Oh, well.
All right. Now that we've had our fun making fun of you.
Yeah. I think we're done.
But we're already at 56 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, we're good, I think. I think you nailed it on the head.
No, really, the ones that you watched, besides Ash from Evil Dead, you know that one's coming.
Yeah, Ash. What else? Ash from Army of Darkness for sure. Just because I feel like I'm just like, you know, a regular guy. And then, like, he's put in a situation and he tries to deal with it best he can, mistakes and all. And he's kind of a badass and he's funny. So I like to think that I'm like that, or I try to be like that at least.
You're definitely funny. I don't know how much of a badass you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I can use a chainsaw.
I'm not cool enough to be like Han Solo, and I don't think you've got the badass Ash thing going on, but we love you anyway. You're funny.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I've never really used a chainsaw in real life, but if I did, I might cut my hand off. But then I could just glue it to myself and use it as the chainsaw hand, which would be awesome. There you go. I like the Beetlejuice aspect a lot. I didn't think about that, actually, but now that I'm thinking about it, he's like a showman with, like, you know, jazz hands, and I'm kind of like that, I think. And I remember watching that movie, I'm like, dude, Beetlejuice is awesome. Why is he the bad guy? And, you know, he's got, like, that dark sense of humor, and I think that I'm like that. I like the Beetlejuice character.
Hey,
like,
he's only the bad guy from a certain point of view.
That's true, he is. He is awesome. I like him. I like that a lot. Oh, man. Some other ones that I grew up with that I... I'm going to say this. Ripley from Aliens, even though she's a woman, man, I always wanted to more or less be like her just because she was not afraid of anything and always, like, stood up for what she believed in, and, like, she could, like, take care of her people she loved while fighting crazy shit. And I always liked
it. Hey, don't be ashamed of that. John admitted last week that he wanted to be a 10-year-old girl.
That's true.
It's true.
I'm not ashamed of that. I think that's awesome. But I always liked her a lot. So
Ripley was badass, definitely.
Yeah, man, super bad.
So, yeah, I would go with those three. I mean, I'm trying to think of a Gilbert Gottfried role. Oh, I know exactly who. Elliot Gould from Ocean's 11. That's who I want to be now. I want to be Jess in gold chains and loose silk fitting things and just be relaxed. Like, I like the Lebowski thing. Like, I don't think I'm like Lebowski, but I like the idea of Lebowski. How, like, you know, fuck it, let's go bowling, man. You know, yeah. It's all water under the bridge. I like that a lot. But, you know, that's, like, probably to the extent of Big Lebowski. But with Elliot Gould, I love that. I want to become him right now. Elliot Gould from Ocean's 11. The big glasses and everything.
I'm going to watch those movies later today. Just because you said that.
And you'll be like, I can see Kluger like that.
Yeah, that's exactly. You just need a pool, and you need the robe and the whole shebang, and you're good. You're all set.
That would be awesome.
The glasses.
Yes, yes, very much. All right, so that's our – please, we want you to tell us if, you know, on our Facebook or Twitter at Mediocrity, if you have anybody you looked up to in film and television. But for our last segment, to round this out, our returning segment, because we love you fans, are Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart casting. And we're going to do it in a TV, a sci-fi TV series, as we talked about Battlestar today. So if we could put The Rock and Kevin Hart into a TV series now, what would it be? Jonathan.
All right, so so I'm going to have to narrow it down. We only have one vote, one pitch per person, right?
Yeah.
So my one pitch would be the Men.
Is who?
Is 2.5 Men.
Is that a sci-fi show?
No. Are we doing sci-fi shows? I thought we were just doing TV shows.
I thought we were.
I thought it was TV and movies. We're not narrowing it to sci-fi.
This is why we're media operating.
We're not caging this.
Yeah, I mean, if we say it's sci-fi TV shows, that list gets pretty fucking short. So
it's like
I think
you have a choice between Battlestar Galactica, Stargate, or Star Trek.
Yeah. So my TV show answer is 2.5 Men. Kevin Hart obviously would have to be the half man, and then you've got Dwayne Johnson and Jack Black as the other two characters.
Wow, okay.
Yep. Kevin Hart could just be – he wouldn't have to actually just be a kid. He could just be the short man.
Okay.
And it could still be 2.5 Men.
Okay. All right, 2.5 Men. It's pretty funny. All right, I like that. All right, Jeremy, what do you think?
All right, so I'm going to go with since you're throwing the – qualifier on there, because I'm going to do a movie one also, but since you've got a TV qualifier, I'm going with a movie that has become a TV series, and I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon, where The Rock is Murtaugh and Kevin Hart is Riggs.
I love it.
That would be an interesting dynamic, because Murtaugh is not really like the one to take chances. So Kevin Hart.
Well, I just like the idea of the short guy being the insane, like
crazy,
you know?
Yeah.
Because Murtaugh is still a badass, so you would still get all the badass Rock stuff, but then you get to watch all of like the insanity and just, you know, sheer just nut stuff that Riggs does, yeah, pulled off by the little bitty guy.
Yeah.
And then I like that a lot.
And then the Rock reacting to it.
Good. I like that.
I'm all right, too old for this shit.
What's your other one?
All right, my other one. Since we had a Predator theme, I'm going with Predator. But this one is going to be told from the – instead of the story point of the humans, it's going to be told from the story point of the Predator, which will be played by The Rock, which he then shows up to Earth to hunt to find the ultimate badass, and then the ultimate badass is Kevin Hart.
That's awesome.
The ultimate game. The most deadliest catch.
Yeah. I just want to see Kevin Hart tell The Rock, the Predator, you are one big ugly motherfucker. I want to see that. All right. So I went with a sci-fi television show. There's a sci-fi television
Alf, right?
The what?
Alf?
No, I wish it was Alf. It's close. It aired in 1983, and it only lasted 8 episodes before it went away. This TV show was called Manimal.
Oh my gosh.
And Manimal, if you're not familiar, is a show that followed a doctor who was also a shape-shifting man who could turn himself into any animal, and he chose that ability to solve crimes. So The Rock would be Manimal, and his partner, police detective, would be Kevin Hart, who couldn't turn into an animal. No? Am I getting anything on here?
I think it's a bit of a miss, my friend.
Yeah,
no.
I think you went deep cut on that one.
All right, it would be badass.
You're like, oh, I'm totally going to get him with Manimal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it would be awesome. Manimal.
I see. I haven't heard of or seen Manimal, so I can't really – it doesn't strike any chords with me.
Well, just look up, like, the trailer on YouTube or the intro to Manimal, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
What if we did a Incredible Hulk TV show where Kevin Hart was Bruce Banner and Dwayne Johnson was the Hulk?
They just turn into each other. That would be pretty funny.
I like. They both have to learn some similar, you know, like dynamics and that acting behavior and stuff like that. It could be excellent. I could see enjoying that.
That would be cool. All right. Well, that wraps it up for our 31st episode. That was a great episode, guys. That was fun. We are Mediocrity. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, under the Multimedia Men title. Yeah. Where can they find you guys on social media?
Jeremy?
You can find me at Jeremy Megard Art on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitters.
I am New American Fitness on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and newamericanfitness.net on the web.
Fantastic. And I'm Brian Kluger. Find me at boomstickcomics.com or Brian Kluger, just anywhere. Yeah, we'll be back next week with episode 32, and it's going to be awesome. Mediocrity Podcast. We're coming live to you. We love you.
Are we live, though? I don't think it's live.